We continue while learning the Nishmas Davde Ben Menachem Mishem Chaniyaka Bebidachem Zolio. We are in Bechoris Periches, Mishnah Aleph. This is a rather lengthy Mishnah. We'll try to give just a basic understanding of the Mishnah. We begin our discussion of the Mitzvah of Pidyon HaBein, which we move out of the animal world, and now we're in the human world, the Jewish world, where there's a Mitzvah to give five selah, five slime, five silver coins to a Kohen to redeem the firstborn son. That is Pidyon HaBein. There's also, what we'll discuss is being a Bechor Lenachala. There's the fact that a Bechor will inherit a double share in the father's estate. And we're going to see that the rules that define a Bechor for Nachala are not the same rules that define a Bechor for Pidyon HaBein. So that's why the Mishnah says, Yesh Bechor Lenachala, Vein Bechor LeKohen. You can have a case where a child is a Bechor for the laws of inheritance. He's going to get Pishnayim, double portion of the estate, but he won't be a Bechor for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBein. There will be no mitzvah at all for the father to redeem the firstborn son, based on the fact that the laws that how do you meet the criteria for each one are going to be different. And we can have a case, we'll go through all of them. This mission actually will go through three out of the four categories. Bechor LeKohen, Vein Bechor LeNachala. You have a case where it's the reverse, where a child is going to be considered a Bechor for the purpose of Pidyon HaBein, the father will have to redeem the son after 30 days, but Vein Bechor LeNachala, but the child will not inherit a double portion. You can have Bechor LeNachala Ula Kohen, a case where a Bechor will be considered a Bechor for both. That's quite common. And Yesh She'enu Bechor Lo LeNachala Ula Kohen. It could be a Bechor that's not going to be a Bechor for the purposes of inheritance of Pishnayim, nor will there be a mitzvah of Pinyon HaBein. The basic rule when it comes to Pidyon HaBein is that the child has to be Peter Rechem. Peter Rechem means the child that opens up the womb of the mother. So you could have a case where this may be the father's firstborn son, but it's not the mother's firstborn son. So you could have a case like that. So then it may be a Bechor LeNachala, but it won't be a case of there'll be no halacha of Pidyon HaBein because it wasn't Peter Rechem. And you could have the reverse as well. So the Mishnah happens not to give the simple examples. A child is the firstborn of one or both of the parents or neither of the parents, then we would have pretty much all of the four categories. But we're going to, the Rambam explains that the cases the Mishnah is going to give for each of the categories, three in our Mishnah and one in the next Mishnah, will have some chiddush, some novelty in them, and that's why we discuss these particular cases. So the Mishnah begins with Ezehu Bechor LeNachala Ve'enu Bechor LeKohen. So first we have a long list of cases where there's not going to be Din Pidyon HaBein. It's not going to be Peter Rechem, but it's going to be a case where there is Bechor LeNachala. And once again, there's going to be some type of chiddush in this statement. This obviously we could create a case where we know a simple case where there's Bechor LeNachala, which is the father's firstborn, not a Bechor LeKohen, because the child's not Peter Rechem, because it's not the mother's firstborn child. But the Mishnah is going to discuss the following situation. The background to this is the pasuk says regarding a Bechor, it says regarding a Bechor LeNachala, it says that the child is supposed to be Reishis Ono, Aleph Nun Vav, or Aleph Vav Nun Vav. Reishis Ono means, like it means when it comes to the bracha and Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov gives to Reuven. Reishis Oni. What's Reishis Oni? What's Ono? So that means strength. That's what it means. Ono means strength. Oni, my strength. But nonetheless, the word Ono, or it sounds like the word Onain, to be Miss Onain, means to mourn. Like an Onain is a person who's mourning, or it's the stage of mourning right before the Kavura. So that there, we based on that word, Reishis Ono, Lo Mishpata Bechora, who is going to be a Bechor when it's Reishis Ono? It means where the father is going to mourn over the loss of that child. If it's not a real child at all, it's not a viable child, so it's not where, God forbid, a child was born and now the father has to mourn over such a child. This wasn't even a child to begin with. So we're going to discuss a nafil. A nafil is where it could be an aborted fetus, a miscarriage, or just simply a non-viable child. We've mentioned in the past that in the days of old, we assume that a child that was born at 8 months gestation was not a viable child, only at 9 months or maybe 7 months, but not 8 months. But we have other cases, even if that's not true today medically, we have cases where a child is not going to be a viable child. The child will have the status of an Eifel. We assume it's not going to live past 30 days. That is a case where we don't assume that there's any mourning over such a child. And therefore, since it's not Reishis, oh no, we can't say, lo, with the Vav, Mishpata Bechorah. It will not be, that Bechor will not be the Bechor for inheritance. If that's true, then the next child that's born is going to be the Chor Menachel, because that's the first child that the father will mourn over. On the other hand, the child that's born subsequently is not Peterechem, didn't open the womb, because this Nefel potentially would have opened the womb. So that's the basic background to this. So the Mishnah says, Ezu Bechor Lenachla, where do you have a case where this is Bechor Lenachla, Vena Bechor Lekoen, Haba Akar Hanefalim Sheyatza Rosho Chai. So take the following case, I have a male child born after the birth of an Eifel, a premature baby, which came out of the womb while it was alive, but then it went back into the womb. So what it means is we have a case of twins. One was premature, the other was completely developed. The Eifel one, the premature one, the one, non-viable one, pushed its head out of the womb, then brought it back. And then the baby that was fully developed, that's a viable child, was born. So the one that was born is Bechor Lenachala. Why? Because it's the Reishis, oh no, it's the first of that the father will mourn over. On the other hand, there's no pinyon amein, because it wasn't Peterechem, because the Nefil pushed its head out first. That was the Peterechem. Or another case, Uben Tisha Sheyatza Rosho Meis. Another case, you have a male child born after a 9-month baby, a fully developed baby, was born, and the head emerged from the womb, but after that 9-month baby died, and the head came out, and after it was dead. So here, we have two twins. Both are fully developed, both are viable children, but one died in the womb. What happened? The head was somehow pushed out, pulled back in, and then the second baby, the one who both developed, but the second one actually was living, was born. So in this case, when the head of the first fetus came out, whether it was alive or was dead, that was considered the Peterechem. That's when the womb opens. So that's so therefore the child that's born afterwards is not going to have a halacha of pinyon amein. On the other hand, the second child indeed is the Bechor Lenachala, because it is it's either the first fully developed child or first living child, and that the father is going to mourn over. Another one on this list of Bechor Lenachala, but not Bechor Lekoen, but this is a machlokas. It says, V'hamapeles kimin behema chayav of a woman had an aborted fetus, unfortunately, but it was deformed. So it looked like a behema or a chaya or an oaf. And then she has another child. Now she has a boy who was born afterwards. So the baby that's born afterwards, so that first child, we don't assume the father, that's not racious. Oh no, that's not, he's not going to be misonane. He's not going to mourn over that child. So, but the one that's born afterwards, he will. That's the first one he will mourn over. So therefore, that will be a Bechor Lenachala. But the one that's born after the Behema Chayav, a child that looks like, that's deformed, looks like Behema Chayav Oaf, this child that's born after is not the Peterechem, because the first child that was deformed is considered the Peterechem. And that's Divrei Rabbi Meir, who puts it into this category. V'chachamim omrim, no. We don't consider a fetus to have performed the peterechem, to be considered that peterechem, achebot mitzuras adam. It has to have some type of human form. Looking like a behema chayv oaf doesn't count. And therefore, according to the chachamim, the deformed fetus we speak about that looked like a behema chayv oaf is not the peterechem at all. And therefore, the next child will be both a bechor lenachala and a bechor for pinyon habay. Another example in this category, Hamapela Sandal, a woman aborted sandals. So what's a sandal? Baturah says, Chatichas Basar, a piece of flesh, Asuya Kim Sandal. Looks like has the form of like a sandal, of a shoe. Ve'ela Tsuras Evarim, it doesn't have any form of any limbs. Just a piece of flesh. Urugila Lavoim Im Vlad, and often it comes with another child, which means that we assume that there may have been another fetus. There's another child as well. We assume that this was a fetus, but then it may have been crushed by another child that was inside the mother. That's the assumption of why it looks like a sandal. And she aborted this sandal, so therefore, the child that's born afterwards is not going to be the Petarechem. This is going to be the Petarechem. It's deformed. So the answer is it's only deformed after it was actually developing normally to begin with. So therefore, that is considered the Petarechem. The child born afterwards is not, there's no pinyon amein, but it will be the Bechor Lanachal for inheritance. Oh, Shilya. Or let's say the mother, the woman had a Shilya, the amniotic sac, with there's no fetus inside. But we nonetheless, even though there's no fetus that we see, we assume that since there's a sac, ain shilya below vlad, we've had in the past, by Tanur quotes that idea, we assume that ain shilya below vlad, there must have been a vlad, somehow a fetus there, elishi nimoach, but it dissolved, umiya petarechem hava, that is considered petarechem. And therefore the child that's born after this shilya was delivered is going to be a bechor lanachla, but not a petarechem, not pinyanamein. V'shafir merukam. Or says the Baruch, what's shafir merukam? Chaticha shel basar, also a piece of flesh, in merukam batzuras ha'ubar. So you see within it, it's a mass, but you can see that there are human features that have started to form. So this embryo, we assume at this point, has the status of a fetus. It's considered one that, if emerges, is considered the Petarechem. And therefore, the one that follows is going to be a Bechor Lanachal, but not the Bechor for Pidyon. V'hayotim Mechutach, or a fetus that came out in different pieces. Says the Bar Tanura, Shenechtach, Eber, limb by limb, Ubederech, Zer, Yatzakulub, the whole thing came out. But only limb by limb, unfortunately. So that's also the Petarechem. And the one that follows is a Bechor Lanachal, but not Bechor Pidyon. Haba Achareyan, Bechor Lanachal, Veda Bechor Lakon. So this is the summary, really, of this first category, where we say that the one that follows is a Bechor Lanachal, but not a Bechor Lakon. There's no Pidyon Habe. Now, we're really not done with this category, but we are done with this category in the sense that all of these follow the same logic, which is because all these types of aborted fetuses is something that's not righteous, oh no, the father does not mourn over, that's why we assume that the next child that's born will be the Bechor Lanachla, and not this, although the Petarechem, it was a Petarechem. So the next category, we're not going to be discussing the idea of Reishis, oh no, what's considered something that the father will mourn over, but nonetheless, it will fall into this in this first category of where it is a Bechor Lanachla and not a Bechor for a Petarechem, for Pidyon Abein, for a different reason. Misha lo hayulo banim, menasa ishak shvar yalda. A man didn't have any children. Married a woman who already had children, and now she gave birth to a child. So that obviously we know is a bechor for inheritance, because the father's first child, but not a bechor for pidyon, because not the mother's first child. And the Mishnah, okay, that should be obvious. We mentioned the Rambam says we don't give obvious cases. So we say now, adds the Mishnah the following piece. And that is, even if this woman gave birth to her first child, Oda Shivcha ben Ishtachra. So that's how we complicate the case. This is not so simple. What she was a Shivcha Kananis. And that's when she gave birth to the first child. And that since then, subsequently, she was freed. Or Oda Nachris, from this guy, or she gave birth to the first child while she was not Jewish. And now, ever since then, she's converted. Misha Basli Yisrael Yalda. So if she now gives birth to a child, to a son, when she became Yisrael, so this child that's born now, Bechor Lanachala Veinu Bechor Lakoyin, is Bechor Lanachala, it's the father's first child, that we know, but it's not Bechor Lakoyin. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that it's not, you'll say, hold on, of course not, it's not the mother's first child, it's not Petarechem. No, the answer is though, when she gave birth to her first child, she wasn't Jewish. So this is her Petarechem as a Jewish woman. Her first child that opened the womb was a child she had when she was a Shivcha Kananis, or she was a Nachra, she was not Jewish. So maybe I would say, therefore, since the next subsequent child born is born, the first one born when she was a Jewish, so therefore that should be a Bechor for Pidyon HaBein as well, comes the Tana Kama to say, it's not true. It's not true. That's the Chiddush of this statement. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosi HaGalili Omer, if a woman had a child before she became Jewish, and then has another child afterwards, after she became Jewish, B'chol HaNachal Ol HaKohen. So Rabbi Yossi Eglinli disagrees. He believes that if this is the first child that she had when she was Jewish, that's considered Peter Rechem. It's considered a B'chor, not only for Nachal, because it's the father's first child, but this is the mother's first Jewish child, and therefore it has the status of Peter Rechem. There is a din opinion I mentioned, and I quotes the Pasuk, Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, the Pasuk says. We care only about whether the child opened up the womb when she was Yisrael. Ache Yifteru Rechem M'Yisrael. So now we're into the second category. Second category is where we have a child who's a Bechor regarding Pinyon Abayin, but not regarding Bechor, but not Lenachla. Misha Hayulu Banim Venasa Isha Shelo Yolda. So this so far is pretty simple. Man already had children, and he marries a woman who never had a child. So obviously that child is going to be Peterechem, there's Pidyon HaBein, but there's no B'chol HaNachla, because the father already has an older child. But one to less, of course, we have to complicate the case to teach you a Chiddush. Nisgaira Me'uberes. If a non-Jewish woman converted with her also non-Jewish husband, they converted together, and she was pregnant with the first child. Nishtachara Me'uberes, or she had a Shechach Kanatis. And she was freed together with her husband, who's an Eved Kanani, and while she was pregnant with the first child. So if now any one of these women give birth to a son, the child is going to be a Bechor for Pidyon HaBein. Why? Because it's the mother's firstborn. It is so, but it's not a Bechor for Nachla. Why? Because when was the child conceived? When the father was not Jewish. Because we said he's also an Eved Kanani, or he's also a Nachri, and therefore his child will not inherit the father. Oh, so here the Mishnah actually gives us a simple case. The first case was Mishahilu Banin Venasa Ishav Shelo Yolda. Okay, he had children. He marries a woman who never gave birth. This is a Peterechem, this Pidyon HaBein, and he, of course, is not a child Lenachla because this father had many children. But then we have the case of where there's an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananis, they're married to each other, but that's not considered a halachic marriage, of course. Or you have a non-Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, and they convert together. In both of these cases, and she was pregnant, but only gave birth after she converted, after she was Jewish. So we said that child is her first child, and born when she was Jewish. So of course that's a child for Pinyon HaBein. But it's not going to be a child for inheritance. Why not? Because when it comes to Nachla, says the Bar Tanura of Alona Nachla, they came into Hora Shalobik Dusha, Lava Benachlu. Since the child was conceived when Shalobik Dusha, when they were not, the father was not Jewish, it's not a Bechor Lanachla. Why? Dizera Oved Kochovim Rachmana Afkure. Dixiv, and quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel, that when it comes to the Zera, the seed literally of non-Jews, the child's conceived when he was not Jewish, so then Mufkar, they're declared ownerless. They're not, the concept of Nachla of inheritance does not apply to them. So, but there is Pidyon HaBein. But if there's Pidyon HaBein, the Rishonim point out that the father doesn't do the Pinyon HaBein himself because he's not halachically recognized as the child's father either. So there's no Nachla, there is Pinyon HaBein, but he shouldn't be doing the redemption. The son should redeem himself, which is what the Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. If a father doesn't redeem the child, so the child has to redeem himself. Then another case where we're speaking about this Pinyon HaBein and Onachla, but this is where it's a child of either a Kohen or a Levi, whether the Kohen or Levi is the mother, or the Kohen or Levi is the father. So there's no din opinion, I mean, but there will be, so this is another example of where we have Peterechem. Yes, this is going to be, there will be a din opinion, I mean, but there will not be Bechor Lenachla. How is this so? So the Mishnah here says, Yolda v'hi v'kohenes. Now, obviously, the simple case where where she's a Bas Kohen, he's a Kohen, of course, there's no Din Pinyon HaBein at all. So how is this a case where there is a Din Pinyon HaBein, but there's no Nachla? So that's why this case is also, we have to complicate it. Yolda v'hi kohenes, the daughter of Yisrael, and the daughter of her Kohen, each of them are married to a Yisrael, and they gave birth to the first sons, and they're in same room, but we don't know whose child is whose. or he or Leviah. Let's say the daughter of Israel and the daughter of Levi gave birth to the first sons. They're also in the same room, but now the babies are mixed up. I don't know which child is the Israel son and which is the Cohen of the Levi son. Makes no difference. It could be the woman is the Bas Levi or she is the Bas Cohen, or the husband is a Cohen or a Levi. Same question. So one child obviously is Pater from Pidyon HaBein. One is Chayef. So the halacha is that there is a says the Mishnah so in this case Yol Divi Kohen is he Levia. So this is an example of where there's going to be Pidyon HaBein, but not Bechol HaNachla. What is this based on? So the Israel has to give 5 stela to a Kohen. You'll say, hold on, why do you have to do that? We don't know which son is which. The answer is, doesn't matter which son is yours, there is a Yisrael. There's no doubt there's one Yisrael there's a daughter of a Yisrael married to a Yisrael. So that marriage, that child, certainly has a din of Pidyon HaBein. The other woman who gave birth to the child, we can't identify which child, whose child is whose, but we know she's either a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, or the husband's a Kohen or a Levi, so they're putter. But no doubt, the Yisrael, there is a baby in this room that no doubt needs Pidyon HaBein. That's the one that's born to the Israel and the Israelis. So you may not be able to identify your son, but no doubt Mr. Israel, married to a woman who's Israelis, you obviously owe 5 slayim to a Kohen. So you have to no doubt have a din of Pidyon HaBein. However, neither of these children are Bechol HaNachla, and that's why this is in this category. There's a Pidyon HaBein here, but there's no Bechol HaNachla. Why? Because Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya. As the children get older and claim, oh, I deserve the inheritance of this father. What do you mean? You have no idea who the father is. We don't know. You're the child of whom? There is. So therefore, this will be a case of Pidyon HaBein, but Hamotzi Mechaver, the burden of proof would be on the children to prove that they're indeed the son of this particular father. Each father can say, you're not my son. Hopefully by that time things will be clear. And then the Mishnah says, another example, these are 2 women who are Yisraelim, he v'isha shekvar yolda. You have Yisraelis women married to Yisraelim, and they gave birth to sons. Babies got mixed up. We don't know whose child is the son of which woman. So, but one of them is a case where they already had children. So the husband of the woman who never had children, of course, he has to give 5 stela to the Kohen, even though he can't identify which is his child, but because he's definitely the father of Bechor. So therefore, this is a case of stela on the 5 stela. You have to give Pidyon HaBein. On the other hand, neither child can claim any Yerusha from either of the fathers. Next, also in this category, the halacha is that we know that a woman is divorced or widowed. She has to wait 3 months before she can remarry. This way we can identify what we call havchana. So we can identify if she gives birth who the real father is. That's why you have to wait that amount of time. But here we have a case where the woman did not wait. She didn't wait the 3 months. Now she gives birth. So now she this woman had never given birth, but she didn't wait 3 months. So after she married a second time, has a child, which may be she has a child 7 months into the second marriage. Then that may be a full-term child from the first marriage, or that may be a 7-month child from the second marriage. We don't know. Then you do it in Ben Tishol Rishon or Ben Shival Achon, exactly the suffix. Is this a 9-month child to the first husband who passed away, or they were divorced, or Shivalachon, it's 7-month child to the second. So what's the halacha in such a case? We don't know. This is a case where there is no doubt Pidyon HaBein, because she never gave a birth. Of course, this is Petarechem. On the other hand, since we don't know who the father is, so Hamotz Mechaval Araya, there is no din of Bechor LaNachla. Bechor LaKohen, so that's the mission. Now this is the general summary. For everything, these are cases where it's a Bechor LaKohen, for Pidyon HaBein purposes, but Be'eino Bechor L'Nachala. And now the third category, the last one in our Mishnah, the next Mishnah discussed the fourth category, Ezu Bechor L'Nachala Ula Kohen. Where do you have a case where it's Bechor L'Nachala Kohen? So that would be, we could give it obvious, first child of both the mother and the father. We have to complicate it. Hamapeles Shafir Maleidam, a woman aborts a Shafir, which is a mass of Basar, of flesh, that's full of blood. Malei Mayim, full of water, maligininim, or different types of colors. These are all where not only not viable, but this is not considered peterechem at all. Hamapelis kamin dagim v'chagavim shkasim rumasim. She aborts a fetus that looks like fish or locusts or crawly creatures. Or hamapelis yom arboim. She miscarries on or before the 40th day of pregnancy. In all of these cases, this aborted fetus is undeveloped. It's not the peterechem, and therefore the child that's born afterwards will be the peterechem, and of course will be the b'chor l'nachal as well, haba acharein b'chor l'nachala ula kohen. Perek ches mishnah beis. This is category number 4. This is where it's not going to be a b'chor either for nachala or for pidyon abein. Yotze dofen haba acharav shnehen einon b'chor l'lo nachala v'lo lo kohen. You have a firstborn son that was delivered by C-section, and then you have a naturally born son afterwards. Both don't have a divin nachla or lekohen. Why? First son is not a bechor because it's not peterechem, didn't come through the rechem. And the second born child is not the first child to be born. That's also not a peterechem. There's no opinion on me. And the same thing when it comes to nachla. He's not a bechor l'nachala, the first one, because the Torah speaks about when it comes to speaking about nachala, it speaks about being born. The language, you need a leida, and this is not what we would call a leida. Second child, of course, is not the firstborn, therefore can't be the bechor l'nachala. And so therefore, first son is not a bechor because you need to be peterechem. This is not peter. Second son is not a bechor because he's not the firstborn of the father or of the mother in such a case. He's the second child, so it's not a bechor for either one. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Harishon l'nachala, first son is a bechor for nachala. You'll say he was born through C-section. No, that doesn't matter. You don't need to have a leida, an official natural leida for inheritance. You just need to be the first child. And the second child is, in fact, considered the peterechem. He may not be the firstborn, but he did open the womb. He's the firstborn to be born naturally. And therefore, that's enough for the child to be a bechor for pidyon habein, according to Rabbi Shimon.